that's how I see us as believers, that we're family. Absolutely. That's the only way I can interpret. That's how I can read and see the gospel through the lens of family. There's no way I can see it any other way. So when I see corporate America trying to take God's place, I get upset. Not saying that there's not structure inside a family, because there is. You can't just knock on my door and say, hey, I'm this person. You come in and start directing God in my family. You can't, because there's structure in my family. And it's not to inhibit them. It's to keep a parameter, a safe parameter, so they can grow up healthy, so they can go do the things of God in the right way. But I'm sitting there, and we're almost, and I had talked to Miss Patty about stopping at a store to get some mints and other things. And so she gives me a key. She keys me in. And I'm listening. She's being very nice, politically correct. She's like, Chico, I got some Tic Tacs here. I was like, all right. And then she's standing at the door. I'm like, I don't realize it. I don't have nothing to look at for the time. I'm like, it's supposed to be time to go. And I just tell her, I says, Miss Patty, I'm sorry. I'm having a bad hair day. Everybody's in the truck. And it was just funny because, you know, I've let my hair grow. I haven't been anywhere to cut it. So I have my hat on. Don't know how I have my... So today I get up to fix it for church. You realize, man, hair going everywhere. And I'm sitting there trying to get this goofy stuff in order, because I usually keep a short haircut. It don't even matter. It don't matter. You don't have to come here. Just get up and go. And she says, it looks good. So by faith, I believe her. But that is, but in reality, that's the deal that we're all living in with our identity in God. So we look at ourselves through the mirror of the evangelical measurement system of success or not. And we either walk prideful or condemned, according to however you're measuring yourself with that evangelical modern measurement system. And the reality is, we have to receive and get a revelation and see ourselves how He sees us. Then you'll never ever again have a problem loving on people. You won't have a problem with being offended. You won't have a problem with letting that money go and tempted to try to manage it after it leaves your hand. Because see, y'all are in construction. And most definitely, that's the temptation. See, dealing with family and Jesus, two of the biggest trying times are when you're dealing with musicians. Well, in a charismatic church, when you're dealing with musicians. Yeah, yeah. When you're dealing in a non-charismatic, it's who's going to speak. Who's going to teach the word? It's both. So whatever you focus more on. But also when you're in construction, when a church is going under construction, lots of stuff has opportunities to rise to the top. Why? Because it involves money. And it's very simple. It's very easy. Jesus told you very, very easy. Jesus didn't harp on the law of tithe. He didn't have to. He gave a big, way bigger concept. Wherever your heart is, that's where your money is anyway. If I got your heart, I got your money. I don't have to scare you into doing this. I've got it. You're the reason why you want to do it now is a completely. It's not now I'll do it to check off the list to be okay with God because he'll hit me. It's no, I'm overwhelmed that I'm born again, we're eternally rich. I get the gift. I get to help the kingdom of God go forth. And so the identity thing, I know that was a weird way of getting that. But I'm telling you, We need a revelation and see ourselves how He sees us. You need to be able to see others like He sees them. And so when you never get outside of your church, that's the problem why most people, that's why there's so many splits. That's why there's so many divides. Not that that's bad. See, a lot of people think, well, there are so many denominations. It's so divided. Nah, not really. I mean, after you get over 20, 30 people, you can't really manage that on a family level anyway. It's going to turn into corporate. It's overgrown. It's boundary zone really being personal. It's hard to do it. In reality, can this brother sit here and manage people on a fatherly level over 20, 30 people? Not really. And there should be other family members among you doing it. So when a church gets, I was just in a church in Tennessee, the Church of God people, this crazy, wild biker guy gets saved years ago. And he's too unpolished to fit in the Church of God. But he's winning souls like crazy in their area, and they can't deny it. So they have to bring him in or bring him close, you know what I mean? And he is, he's cool, he's fine. He don't really conform to all of the exterior requirements. But he still comes in as family, you know what I mean? And he's on fire for God. I mean, this guy, and he starts building these churches just in Tennessee, like close to Knoxville. Just a crazy, wild, surrendered biker. Love, in love with God. I mean, but he starts winning all these people, man. And his thing was, when they got up to 200 people, they just started another church. When they got to 200 more, they started another church. And we were just among those people. And them dudes were just so, it was so awesome to be with them people. And it was just, the mentality of, it was cool. They didn't buy into the mega church culture. Because that's coming to an end anyway. There's already people in throughout America that ran that circle. I mean, the machine's always going to go because it generates what it generates. Okay? That's fine. I'm not talking negatively about it. There's good things that come out of it. But I'm just saying, the mega, and I'm not talking about specific mega, I'm talking about the mega church mindset, the culture. You know what I'm saying? Where big is better. That's running its course. And it's like everything. People want to come back to family, more personal. It went that way for one while. Then all of a sudden we had a fad of cell groups. You've seen this. You've been in it long enough to watch the circle. Because the thing is, we are created for community. We're created to be family. That's just a reality. And but I know a very, very key thing is really, really we have to see ourselves how God sees us. And that's through the Word. It's not your circumstance. It's not your situation. It's not you comparing yourself to the guy, the brother, the sister on the left and right. It's you looking through the Word of God, filling yourself. And at the times you need it, as you walk with Him, He brings those eternal truths to anchor you. I'm gonna go through some. Let's go through some pictures. That's gonna bring up a whole bunch of stuff. This girl right here. Casey, could you come talk to her about this lady, please? Hurry, please. Thank you.
He does this to me all the time. He knows I do not like to get up and do this, and he never warns you like when it's gonna happen. It's always just no, now. So this sister is really awesome. Lady, and she has two kids. Her husband's been gone for several months. He's in the States working, and she started losing her vision and her hearing, just like having these spells where she would lose her vision and hearing. So she went to see a doctor, and they were like, you have a massive brain tumor. It's pressing on all your nerves. That's why you're losing your vision and hearing, and at any moment it's going to kill you. You've got to have surgery right away. But in Mexico, in order to do the surgery, you have to pay for it up front. And it was going to be like an astronomical amount of money. And she was, she's like, there's no way I could ever afford this. So she had come to church, and she comes and sits down. And she's like, I need y'all to be praying. The doctor said I have a brain tumor and I could die at any minute. I'm like, whoa, wait, what? Run that by me again. So she tells me everything. I'm like, okay, let's go. Like right now, we're gonna go get prayer. And because we're like in the middle of a service, so we all prayed for her. She went home, and some time went by before we saw her again. When we saw her, I was like, how are you doing? She was just so happy. She's like, you will not believe what happened. She said, I got up here, and she lived a long way away from where we were doing the service. She said, I got home, and my symptoms started going away, and she had a friend that was like, I know this specialist that's agreed to look at you. So she went to see him, and he does all the scans and everything, and he comes back out. He's like, I don't know what you're doing here. This is like for severe cases. And he said, I see the record of what you had, and I don't know what happened, but it's not there. So she was very, very blessed.
All right. So for good. So there's so many dimensions of the goodness of God that is revealed to us through this. She for sure needed. She needed that. Her children needed it. But the reason why I showed it is for you and me. Now, one of the hardest things, see, for me to get up and speak to you is easy. On any subject, on anything in the Bible, I live it. I feel myself daily. I read the Word of God because I want to know Him. Content is not an issue. You know what? One of the biggest problems with getting up like this in a public place, in a more refined place and speaking, is somehow figuring out a way to point nothing but to Jesus. To find out a way in all that you're doing to get out of the way. It's way more challenging than you think. Because we, from our core, want to be God. Oh no, and I know that sound. Whoa. Yeah. Just right now, there's this real. Everybody's into. There's a fad going on among us with mental health. People's getting a lot more knowledge about it. There's a lot more there's a lot more therapy. There's a lot more sessions. There's a lot more. Counseling, there's a lot of, but one of the main things that they're saying in Christian and, Christian, I don't even know what the world is saying, but it's the concept of learn to love yourself. And I know that sounds very logical, but I'm telling you, you love yourself. That ain't a problem. You love yourself. Because the moment your belly tells you you're hungry, you go find something to eat. Anything inside of you, any appetite that you have inside of your natural body, you go figure out how to satisfy it. That is your priority. And I'm telling you, that's not the fix. That might be a temporary little help. The fix is us walking in the purpose and the will of God who He's created us to be. He said He created us in the likeness and the image of Him. Well, who is He? We were created to serve Him and serve others. When you set out to serve you, you're not fulfilled. You will always be lacking. Trust me. And I know that I'm talking against the American way. Burger King's theme is have it your way. That mentality is so ingrained in the psyche of these last three or four generations. There is no family left. There is no understanding of covenant and commitment. The body of Christ, the majority of them don't even come together physically anymore. They watch church on TV or watch church through the internet. Have it your way. It's wrong. And I know the most powerful thing I can ever do in front of you is be transparent. If you are not able to see the weakness through me to get past that and to see Jesus, I have failed. And leaders have been so taught in this religious system to be to be successful. So we have professional speakers rather than pastors, rather than dads. We have musician artists instead of worshipers. We have donors instead of family, brothers and sisters. And the church is just barely trying to figure out how to encourage themselves. Just to make it real for one song we sing. I'm giving you a key. If you would just go give away a little bit of what you have received, you would be full. You would start walking into a deep revelation of the Word of God. The Word of God, then you will understand why it's alive. It's not a book of study. It's not the main book for the study of theology. No, it's alive. It's real. And so this message, yes, is to glorify God, but the message is she's one of our sisters. She's not a member of the church. We walk in the reality that you walk in. I don't float from state to state on a cloud. When I say amen with you, we'll go break bread with Brother Tim for a second, and I'll drive 16, 17 hours to Arkansas, where my mother and father-in-law yesterday morning, someone stole their business. He has a little tractor. He has a truck with his tools. He has his trailer. Someone stole it yesterday. Where there's flood, and we get to go be light. But if we roll in there like superstar evangelical missionaries, you think there's any going to be any help given like that? What foolery! So when we do that and play part of that system, we just establish even more so a dead false religion of clergy laity. It's a sham. The real gospel comes out through everyday people. That's the gospel. And I'm not making little of someone's gift and someone, I'm not doing that. Don't hear me wrong. But the fact of the matter is, I'm a son of God. I have no right to receive applause and some type of extra from you as a missionary or whatever that is, and to walk in a false identity. Because the reality is, when we're walking with these people, we have doubts just like you. We pray for a lot that don't get healed. I go to village after village after day that people don't respond. And then you have to finally figure out, why do I do what I do? And that's what I'm talking about, this walking with God. Then you get to find in the Word of God, it never was about these people anyway. It's always been about you. what happens has nothing to do with me being successful or not as a son. I'm successful because I am obeying you. This is on you. Here I am, I'm available. And those deep, fundamental, necessary roots of the gospel are planted in you, where you're really able to be salt and light wherever you go. And it's not contained to a region. It's not contained to a group of people. Now you're the game changer. Because you're full of light, you're full of salt, and you can't explain it. It's illogical. And that's why Paul says, and this will be my verse, I guess, of the day. He says to the Roman church, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power. Now, see, we know this is a cliche, but let's stop and think about it. The power unto salvation. We're talking about eternity. A simple gospel, a message. The gospel is good news. It's a message. How can a message, in the way you respond to that message, your eternity hinge on that? That's the, you know why it's a mystery? Because you can't figure it out. That's the point. It never was. He says in Isaiah, I'm going to do this to confound the wise. That's my plan. It is absolutely foolishness to these philosophers, these Greek philosophers. And it's a stumbling block to the most religious of the Jews. It makes no sense. Paul declares to the capital powerhouse of the world, I'm not ashamed. And I do have accolades. I do have credentials, big credentials. And I tell you, it's not your Roman citizenship. It's the power. It's not me being able to study under Gamaliel. It's not because I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. It's not because I was a little more well off. It's not because I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. None of that. He said it's the gospel. So, by saying that, how do me and you, now this is, I'm talking to you as family, okay? This is a family talk, right? This is what this is. This ain't me preaching to you. This is us talking like family. I'm a brother. And that's all this is. So how can we don't get the right to complicate. We just don't get the right to complicate. We don't get the right to say, okay, you bought all those souls. Them are your souls. And you've chosen us. Filled us with the Spirit of God to go get them. Thank you for my salvation. I got my ticket. It's secured. But I kind of don't have time for the rest. We say these extreme statements like, you're my Lord. I'm not my own. I love you. What does love look like? Last night in the bars, I guarantee you there was some guy singing some hymn. What does it look like? Have you seen Jesus today in the flesh? Have you walked up and gave him a hug and expressed some kind of love? What does it mean then? I can tell you. He says, the way you've treated the most insignificant one among you, the littlest of these, that's how you're treating me. If you want to love God, love people. And look for God to open up the way for you to share the gospel. Look and pray, intercede, that somehow the Father would draw them to his Son. That they would get a revelation that he is the Messiah. He is their Lord, so they can be changed forever. And it's just not more complicated. You know, we stand out there and we live with them and we're with them. Like y'all are here right now praying for people. And that's what happened. And it's a beautiful thing. And I can't tell you the joy that that woman has right now. Because she was hopeless. And I'm just telling you, and I'm trying to tell you that, so let's pray. Let's be available. I say that to say this. The reason why she came up to my wife is not because my wife is Apostle Casey and she's on this big circuit of big hitters. But they know she's available. And that's what I'm saying. A mom, a teacher, someone who attends the saints, someone who blesses, she's just available. And that's why the girl came up to her. And that's what I'm talking about. It's just that every day, who we are, people seeing Jesus in us, and we're available. All right, next. I can't go into this much, but I felt like, quick, real quick. I felt like God spoke, because this is what it looks like to the gospel. Remember sweet potatoes? I felt like God, a lot of my pastors were coming up to me and saying, look, we got to leave and go make money. We have food to eat, but we don't have any money. So what that means is they leave their families for 3 or 4 months at a time, and they leave churches, and they go, they basically work like slaves and make very little money. So I felt like God spoke to me to teach them a cash crop. So that's what the gospel looks like too. And inside of everything we do, it's the gospel. And so we've been able to, long story short, we've been able to provide 2 or 3 jobs for some pastors where they can go to church when they want. And it's just a really cool deal. And the mindset is letting them have the confidence that they're doing it on their own. But it's a process. But as you do that, you get to walk with them, you get to work with them, you get to teach them, it's more than just go to a church and preach. You know, it's doing life with them. They come live with us. Sometimes we do Bible schools with them. We go out and work in the field together. So that's some of the stuff that goes on too. Next. The message of the day is basically just the simplicity of the gospel. So the man in the white shirt right there in the middle, right? His name is Chico. He's a hillbilly. He's a mountain goat. You know, he's 70-something years old. He can out-hike any of us young guys. But, you know, we started visiting that place inside of his house right there. And it was just his family. He is, and I think this is a sign from God. So through this man's weakness, I'm believing God to empower you. He's the worst speaker you ever listened to. Why? Because he stutters. You can't understand nothing he says. He would absolutely be the last person you would ever pick to be a pastor here in America. But with his own heart, and with him being overwhelmed with the gospel, he goes and talks to everybody in his village. He prays for the sick. Ain't nobody paying him. He was a dad that let us come and do church at his house. The hardest worker you ever know, works in his field more than anybody, but then goes and does the gospel to the point where he has 150, 200 people in his church. Outgrown the inside of his house. Now we're in his yard, you can see. The mayor of his town just told him that he's not allowed to witness to anybody else. He's causing crazy problems in their village right now. But not only that, though, y'all, listen. Them young men and young ladies that are there, somehow God's just rooted them really fast. Like they have started 3 new churches right now. They work with me. I haven't even been to them yet. They don't wait on me. One of the guys, you know, these are Indians. These are indigenous people that don't, they've been treated bad. In their society, they've been treated bad. So they don't have, some of them don't have the confidence. But one of the guys that went to do migrant work, he stood up when they got through picking the field in front of 500 people and preached the gospel to all of them. People started getting saved and healed. He comes back to me, Chico, what do I do now? I ain't got no clue. You got a good problem. I don't know. And they just go. And like say, I don't have to go with them. Like, they're doing it. They found that, you see how poor they are? They've never asked me for one dime. They're right now building a little building where they're standing right now. It's a roof. That's all we need. They bought their own sound equipment. But you know what? They had to buy a generator too. Why'd they have to buy a generator? Because their village has electricity. And because that brother is a brother, they won't give it to him. Now let's talk about the power of the gospel. We ain't talking about no dead raising. We ain't talking about no casting demons out. Let's talk about some real true character in adversity. Because this man impresses me. You're a believer. You're on fire for God. You do nothing but love. You're meek. You're humble. You do it with all your heart, with all your money, with all your time. You do it with everything you have. God blows up, blesses it. Your town, who you've been a part of, that you work all of their because every week they have a village work day. You have to pay the money for the, so everybody has to participate. It's village. Now all the town finally gets electricity. Has it for a year, 2 years. And they won't give it to you. You live at the top of the hill. You go down every day. You walk past all the houses of your neighbors looking at their electricity. Instead of your wife out there with a big rock crushing up chilies and making dough for the corn, you hear them, they got blenders now. They got lights. They got a little radio. Somehow, some way, you maintain the love of Jesus. You continually participate. You don't hold that against them. You still are loving on them and giving your life for them to see them saved. I don't know. I just know that's the power of the gospel. It don't make no sense. So, I just, like I said, I'm just basically showing you a nobody that's a superstar in the kingdom of God. And this is the fact of the matter. The demons laugh at, they're completely, the demons and the devil, the kingdom of hell, are not intimidated at all by any ministerial credential, by any talent. They're just not. But a surrendered heart, willing to be used, is taking forth the gospel forward. It says, it doesn't matter, because see, the gates of hell, when you come up there and you throw your talents, you throw your accolades, you throw who you are at them, the gates of hell don't budge. They stay fortified. You take the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, like Peter got from the Father. Jesus says, now the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. When you take that forward, it don't make any sense. So it doesn't matter here in Albion how heady everyone is, how educated everyone is. I'm telling you right now, every day there's someone being born and raised in a broken, busted home. Lifeless. And maybe we do have to switch it up. Maybe we can't go beat up people with Bible verses. I don't know what it looks like. I'm just telling you, though, in the secret place, have to receive the burden of God and then go do and love on people for the right reasons. Not in the name of outreach. Not in the name of ministry. Because you really had a revelation. You felt the pain. You felt the concern. You've gotten out of yourself. You said, by faith, God, here I go. I go to help somebody at Walmart. My neighbor's fixing on his fence. I'm going to go help him. In your mind, your busy mind says, like, no, that's stupid. It's your day off. I know. Here I go. It don't make sense. Faith don't. And I'm not telling you, and I'm talking to you as a man, an uneducated thug from the streets. I'm not talking to you as a minister, as a missionary. I'm talking to you as a nobody that believes his God is everything and believes that God wants, that he really did send his son to save the world. Because he did. And, okay, next. Who wants to tell me? Tell about it. Elijah, come on. It's your turn. Tell it right. Tell them what's going to hurt. Tell them what. Tell them where you're at. Where are you going? What happened that day? And what's the biggest thing you got to turn around and talk to them?
That day we were hiking through the mountains without our parents. We had just went with a brother, and it's really fun but also really hard. And that day we got 3 people saved, which meant a big deal to us. And it was really fun. Really hard, but thank the Lord we did it.
So that was, I don't know. We let them go. There was a brand new place. I still haven't been there to this day. But as you walk out of my town where I live, you walk, start off in the mountains. As soon as you walk across the street, leave out of my town, you go straight in the mountains. And they was in a brother that works with me close. He asked, they want to go. They did, and they had never been there, so they went, and you know, they left at like 7 in the morning, got back at 3, and their mom was worried about them because they hadn't showed up yet, you know. But they, God really, you know, that's what I'm saying. As you walk and do the things of God, you don't understand it. You don't get it. The little brother you see in between them, he's abandoned. So he's like one of our... He's like another son. And that's what you do. You get to go, they get to go be brothers with him. He don't have any family. His mom left him, and he's the only son. He's the only kid. She has like 5 kids. He's the only kid that got left behind. She still lives pretty close in another village with all of her kids. And he has to sit there and watch that with his grandma. You just get to love with people, man. I don't know. So that was really cool. But that's the thing of, you know, you don't get it. You put your children on the altar. It is what it is. All right. Go next. So this was recently. So this is kind of what it looks like. I'm trying to show you some of these pictures too, just kind of so you can get a visual of what it looks like. We had never been on those mountains. We had never walked these trails yet. We did that the other day. It was kind of like Noah's hike. So, I don't know, it was like 6 hours hiking through the mountains. There's a couple of missionaries there, a couple of guys I work with. That's what Bible school looks like. That's what discipleship looks like. That's us going. I rent that little apartment up in the mountains with those 20 villages around it. I'm into 2 of them now. It's a slow process. But those guys come up, we eat together, we live together, we pray together, we go out together. That guy raising his hand, he had just got born again. He wanted to go with us. Super excited. You know, they're poor. He had come to the States. He was locked up in the pen here in New York and went down and got locked up again. God touched him, got saved. And so when we get to the place we're going that day, there'll be probably 40, 50 people there with new church, you know. And we'll spend the night up there. So he says, look, I want today, because no one's taught him about tithing offering. He's brand new saved. He says, I want to provide all the tortillas today for 40 or 50 people. I don't know if that registers me, but that's a lot. That we're talking about on your scale to feed that kind of people for them. We're talking about, you know, a month or 2 months' wages for a meal. So it's just cool, and you know, it's just awesome. I don't know what to tell you. All right, go. Okay, so you can play a video. It don't matter. Shoot. All right, pause it. Okay. That's the apartment that, by the way, I wouldn't say, my brother David here, he's with me. Where y'all coming from? What's the name? Okay. He's coming from there. I was just with them. I forgot to acknowledge you when you came in and tell you how. So this place right here, I talked to y'all a time before. Y'all helped out with us help with that apartment. So I'm still renting that apartment. We get more rooms. So it's a two-story house that an old guy a long time ago had built. And he died, and the lady's a widow, and she lives kind of with the kids. So it's an abandoned house in the mountains. And we got we rented a room, but now we rent the whole top floor because I always have people with me. My family goes in, and we just space out of there a lot more now. And so the blind kid is, he's blind. The kid up there playing the violin is blind, been blind from birth. Grown up in the gospel, the only time I've ever felt or seen personally the gift of faith is when his mom got healed. Going to her village, she had the issue of blood for so long, they had wrote her off, couldn't do nothing. They just sent her home to die. She's laying there. She's got two disabled children. I don't know if you know it, understand what that means. She lives on the top, so someone has to go down to the river and draw water. She has two disabled children. She's dead, weak, laying there. My heart breaks like no end. And I'm telling you right then, something came on me, or so, however it works in this, I don't know how it works, but the gift of faith rose up in me that day. Now I pray for lots of people and seen them get healed, but this was instant. Like, watching it happened. There ain't no maybe, no. Like, the confidence like I've never felt before. And I wish I could experience that so much more. And I've only 23 years of me being saved, that's the only time I've ever experienced. And I've tried to be available for it for a lot of times. But that's the only time. This woman got healed. This kid's seen, but he's experienced. He's been around miracles, you know. He's never been healed, though. So one day, and I give kind of a background. So when you work in a laborious, is that the right word? Laborious culture, and you're the only boy, does that mean anything to y'all? So there's no, okay, for the two parents, there's no retirement. There's no Social Security. So basically, kind of, you depend on your kids as your insurance. That's why it seems mean, but in a lot of cultures, they like it when boys are born. Because the girls go off and serve another family, and the boys stay there with the family. And it is what it is. But he's blind. He's the only boy, and he's blind. So he's a burden. So he's been thrown off, and there is no special needs schools. There's nobody to attend to him. He's just a burden. He's trash to people because he doesn't serve as anything in their culture. And it's not even that they're being mean. It's just the way of life. So don't judge it. But he has lived in that. But somehow, some way, God has protected him of taking on a woe is me victim mentality. the kid, he's sitting in church one day with his old busted up guitar. And I said, man, can you play that thing? Yeah. He starts playing. Wow. Do you know any songs? Yeah. You want to go with me sometime? Absolutely. Never been out of the house. Never been anywhere. I pull up. I'm going on a mountain run. His mom's tripped out. You know, no one's ever cared for him before. You know, at this time, he's about 17. I say, he'll be all right. Come on, Samuel. Put your guitar in the cab. Climb in the back with the rest. Cool. It's awkward. See, raising children in the gospel, discipling people is work. That's why so many of us would rather just throw a little money at something instead of giving some time. It's easier in this comfortable culture to throw some money towards a project instead of you giving a little bit of time, taking the time to teach a broken, fatherless kid how to mow a grass, throw a ball with them, show up on their birthday. I don't know what it looks like for you. I just know that he's given us his eyes. He says, open them. He had to tell that to his own disciples. Open your eyes. It's all around you. And this kid, man, he goes with me. You know, it's just real. You know, I mean, I you see where we work. There's just, you don't pull up to in a parking lot and go to church. Like, it's, hey, watch out somewhere. There's rocks. There's a mud puddle. There's walk over that. He's hanging onto my shoulder. Got his guitar on his back. You know, hey, Chico, I got to use the bathroom. Well, there ain't nobody looking. You know what I mean? It's life, man. And you know, but this is a cool thing. And, again, I'm showing you broke. Uneducated. Not only can he not read, he can't see. Knows more scripture than most Christians. Knows more worship songs than most Christians. Taught himself, somehow scrambles up money here and there, finds a way to buy these busted instruments. Taught himself the guitar. Got himself a violin. Anytime I can help him, I help him. He's one of the guys I do help. How do I help him with the sweet potatoes? Because he finds a way to try to do something. He sells his little chips in his house, don't make really nothing. I say, Samuel, you want to sell sweet potatoes? Absolutely. So I print off him a big sign, put it on his outside of his house wall, not going to give him sweet potatoes for nothing, so he can just sit there and sell them, so he can make his own money. Feel worthy, feel dignified, feel like a man. And I don't give it to him free. I make him pay me. So he can feel like something. Then I take the money right around and just give it back to him as offering. But he don't know that. So he said, I said, you want to go witness with me one day? There's a village up here with no gospel. Yeah. There we go, me and him. Tracks. Walking. Nobody wants to listen. We finally get to this old house. And this brother, this indigenous fella, he says, man, come in. Everybody, you know, they invite you to, when they invite you to come in and drink coffee with them, it means something. We go in, no one wants to, he doesn't want to speak Spanish. He only wants to speak their Nahuatl language, the Aztec language. This kid, that's his language. You gotta, and I don't know, at this point, I don't know how much Bible he knows. Man, he just starts, verse after verse after verse. This guy gets born again. His family gets born again. They just recently got baptized. And he's the pastor of them. He finds a way from, he lives a long, long ways away. He finds a way. Not me taking it. I very rarely go. I go with him sometimes. He finds a way to pastor some people. Every 2 weeks he shows up. He figures it out. And then as a dad, you gotta be close. That's spiritual warfare. The close proximity you keep as a father in truth to your children, that's spiritual warfare. And I do pray and I fast, I pray for them. But me staying in close proximity to them, letting them fall, letting them bump the knee, but walking with them. So you got to do that with them too. When they ain't got nothing, they're still trying to figure out a way to go. And if you ain't close, you can't see that. Because they're not trained to ask me for anything. They know sometimes I ain't got nothing. I tell them, I don't know. Why'd you show up on a bus today, Chico? I have no diesel for the truck. Whoever wants to walk with me, let's go. Then other times it's not. Hey, man, here's something for you. Here's something for you. You ride. And you find ways to give them offerings, but try not to create hirelings. The money that y'all give me, y'all help me out with. Thank you. And someone who gave the bigger offering, that's gone to motorcycles. I've given away. I try to, as far as money, I live with my hands. I've been able to give the brother that's been with me. He's 70-something years old. He's like my granddad in the faith. He's been locked up 7 times for the gospel. That guy there never asked me for $1. I looked for a way. Man, how can I get this? And I was able to give him a truck. Then the motorcycle, somehow not give them away, but give them to them for a third of the price and then give older ones away to the other ones. And just been able to look ways to mobilize the gospel. And I'm just letting you can play it. And this is Samuel. This is Samuel and Samuel. That's Samuel. Raise your hand, Samuel. Feel the same. Hallelujah. All right, man. Thank you. Go to the next one. And that's, like I said, that's that, so you can kind of see everything in that apartment, too. Is there any more?
Yeah.
So, pause it. Just pause it. So this is, so in the mountains, y'all understand big mountains? There's rivers, right? If there's mountains, there's rivers. That's just a given. If you don't know that. If there's mountains, there's rivers, all right? So we're on the top of the mountain. We got to get to the other mountain range. You got to go through a river. We chose this time because it's low, but it had rained all night. So when it rains all night in the big other mountains, it finally gets to you. That's why it's muddy. The brothers who were so excited that we were coming to the village, they had come down. They were going to show us how they fish. You know what they showed up with? 3 sticks of dynamite. But it was so muddy we couldn't do it. But anyway, but the water doesn't look very hot, but it's so swift right there. And you can't see because of these big boulders, right? So normally you can see, but it's muddy so you can't see. So as you're going and it's swift, you're like trying to find where you're going to put your foot. It took Samuel down too. I didn't get it on video. So everybody got kind of wet, didn't they? So, go ahead, man. See, Samuel, he's got his shoes and he's tenderfoot, so he didn't fall that right there, but he did fall later. Is that all of them?
Here we are.
There's Noah. He's got a little stick trying to get across there. All right. Is there another one? Or is that? Okay. Yeah. All right. So you can turn it off. I don't know. I could go on and on and on. You know, right now, kind of here with you, I want to make the most of it I can. But basically, Sunday morning church, it's kind of like a pep rally. But you so you, what I'm saying is, don't let this be excited about Monday morning. We get to come in here and celebrate, filled up, get our mind right. We get to be with people, be with each other. But look forward to Monday morning. Look and ask God to put a hunger and thirst back in you. Because he said, Ephesian church, y'all done well. You're a good church. You've learned how to do this. This is a resurrected Jesus up in heaven. Ephesian church, you've done well. Nevertheless, I've got something against you. You've left your first love. You've learned how to do it well. The only problem is the why is missing. Because that's the most important of it all. He says, and if you don't repent and do those first works, but God, those first works were so sloppy, so unprofessional. We had no idea what we were doing. As we know, though, we knew we had to go to work in the morning. We heard there was revival services over there. We didn't care. Sleep, rest was an afterthought. We wanted to come meet you there. Because in that moment, that's all we knew where to meet you. We didn't know we could meet you anyway, but that's where we did. So we went. But it was so sloppy. But that's what I want. And I pray and ask God to put in you a hunger and a thirst and to give you that same tenacity, that faith, that want, that hunger, that desire to see his face. Open your eyes in the gas station. Don't be so self-consumed. The simple gospel is just being selfless. It really ain't much more than that. You know, Rome, he breaks it down 1 through 11. See, if you start at 12, you're gonna get off a little bit. Start at 1 through 11. Super theological, kind of hard to get through. It's a hard one. The Roman road. But all through there, he's telling you, he's establishing the truth of the gospel. It's not works, faith and righteousness. He's telling you, he's trying to show you the big deal. The law was never so you could complete it, because you can't. It's a perfect law. Nevertheless, it can't fix anything. It's a mirror so that you can see that you're needy. That's it. It's a tutor. It was to carry you along so you would understand one day that you absolutely need Jesus. Now that you got that point and you see what he's done, and now you're saved, then he says, right before he starts 12, in view of these mercies, in view of this understanding, how he saved you. You couldn't save yourself, like you said. It's because of him. In view of that great, wonderful message, now, let's talk about you. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. See, if you try to do the duty of present yourself as a living sacrifice without understanding the first part, you would just be religious. And you won't be able to fulfill it anymore, because you're not built to carry dead religion. You can't. We're built to walk in a relationship with him. And that's why John, in 1 John 1, talks like he talks. He says, we saw the word, we touched him, we was with him. And this we proclaim, this life, we proclaim it to you. To establish something other than Judaism? To jump religions? Nah. So that you could be a partaker into this communion, this fellowship that I still have now. I'm not the carnage. Jesus went away 30 years ago, but I'm still with him. As a matter of fact, I just saw him as a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. I just saw a whole bunch of other stuff too. A lot of people think that the Isle of Patmos revelation came before the first three letters. I don't know. I went there. A lot of scholars think that. Nevertheless, it's a big deal. John such talked as if he was still with Jesus. And he says, the reason I tell you this message, and I'm still caught, and he calls them little children, so that you would come and partake. I got something going on with the Father and the Son right now. And it's good. And you know what? I'm blessed. I don't love my life until death. I'm a free man. I'm a dead man and I'm free. It's awesome. And so you hear a lot of extreme stuff coming out of my mouth. It's just Bible. Just normal Bible stuff. And how that applies to your everyday life, that's where you got to go in the secret place with God and let Him teach you and tell you that. Because to me, in these last months, God's used me sitting on the side of a pool with a Baptist guy. Sitting on a bus going from Newark to Manhattan with a kid that just graduated West Point that was going to see his fiance. With on Times Square with a group called the Black Israelites. On a shuttle going from the airport to get to my truck with a Puerto Rican kid who just got born again. On the subway with a couple from Colombia that invited me to their home now. That wasn't in a church. That wasn't in a village. That was here in New York. Because where we wake up, that's where we're sunlight. And it's not. That's what I'm saying. It translates to everybody every way. I don't know how it does for you. I'm just telling you that you just saw a man who stutters, the worst speaker of all. And God has breathed on what he's doing. Just because he believed the gospel. He didn't try to figure out and get every apologetics correct. He didn't try. He just, the gospel. It don't make sense. The gospel. You saw a blind kid. And that's what I'm saying. My family, we're an imperfect family. We got dysfunction. And we're trying to figure it out. It's all a process. Just make him your number one. And you'll be all right.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the earthly examples that you give us. Things that we heard today, the stutterer, the Samuel, the blind young man. They're such great types and symbols of ourselves. Broken and weak before a perfect and righteous God. And yet you chose to give us life through the Son. Through that sacrifice. Father, help us to understand your place and call on each and every one of our lives. As a congregation, as families, as individuals. To get out of the way, quit trying to figure it all out, and trust you. Trust the voice of the Holy Spirit each and every day. We were praying next door earlier in the prayer time about being salt. We heard that again today, this morning. God, help us. We pray that we would be, as that book said, out of the salt shaker. Pour us over, Lord, where the people, the situations, the workplace, the communities, our nation, pour us out, Lord, as you see fit. Thank you, Lord, that there is joy in serving and loving you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your voice this morning. In Jesus' name.